Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, because your word is true, your word is light, your word brings illumination. Thank you for the supply of your spirit that you speak through my vocal cord and you anoint their ears to hear you while I speak. And you cause them to walk into their preordained places in life. Thank you because every cycle is broken. Thank you, Lord, because every negative reoccurrence on the path of destiny is broken off. Thank you because there is a quantum shift for everyone under the sound of my voice today. Thank you, Lord, for light that has come to us today to know what to do, where to do, how to do, when to do, and with whom to do what you will have us do. We give you praise for this. In Jesus' name, and the church says a big
amen.
2 Timothy 2 and verse 25. This was Paul instructing Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25. How to break out from stagnation, part 2. I spoke part 1 in first service, and this is the concluding part. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Number one is repentance, changing of mind, to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, truth is in two phases. There is acknowledging a present situation and also acknowledging the truth of God's word that is capable of altering that present situational fact. So if they would give them by repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, I understand this has to do with a very deep spiritual stuff, but it also means that we can actually recover ourselves from any cycle, whether it is self-afflicted, whether it is situational afflicted, whether it is geographically afflicted, we can walk ourselves out of it. So every affliction, I prophesy, we're walking out of them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 1 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to every one of you here. He says, the Lord our God speak unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. I say, you have dwelt long enough in five figures. You have dwelt long enough in six figures. You have dwelt long enough in seven figures. You have dwelt long enough in this place. You have dwelt long enough in this climb, in this status. Now the status is changing.
Amen.
Now you are moving higher.
Amen.
The Lord our God speak unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough. It's enough of this standstill. It's enough in this mount. Verse 7. Turn you and take your journey. Go to the mount of Amorites and unto all the places high thereunto, in the plain, in the hills. Oh, say this after me. Ibigi gala yemi. Say it. Say it again. Say Ibigi gala yemi. Say the mountain
is my place.
Go to the mount of Amorite and unto the places now thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the valley, and on the south and by the seaside, to the land of Canaanite and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them to their seed after them. What to do when there seems to be standstill in a person's life? I shared in first service that there are two major causes of standstill, of stagnation. And it can be prideful self over self-estimation. You know, Number one is prideful self-sufficiency. The number two is passive spirituality. So somebody is having a prideful self-sufficiency when they think they don't have to see themselves go any further. They feel they have achieved. This is their Ebenezer now. This is all that it is. This is the last thing. They can't see any more reason to advance. So for that reason, they jettison factoring any major variable of advancement into their lives. So what they do is they really pray. Then this passive spirituality, when a man gets to a place where he's not even looking, there is no any inward energy, there is no drive inside to even make him see any possibility beyond where he is. And something that happens after, alongside with ease, is that such person, they merely pray. So the guy with, you know, prideful self-sufficiency, what he does is he really prays. Then the guy with passive spirituality, what he does is he merely prays. But something is common with both of them, prayerlessness. And I shared in 4 services that this thing is deeply spiritual. And I said, a stagnation can actually be a delay permitted by God for a reason. And the primary reason is not to keep you there, is to make you learn and build capacity for the level or the next level he's taking you to. And you can quickly discern when it is not God influenced, when it is demonically influenced. When a standstill is godly influenced or it is God permitted, one of the foundational thing or fundamental things you realize is when a certain standstill is God influenced, something very important you observe is, even though you can't see physical growth or physical advancement, so to speak, but inside you can reckon and be true to yourself that there is indeed a change happening inside. The passion is alive daily. There is this inner joy. There is this, you can perceive inside, on the inside, something is happening. For instance, when you see a caterpillar, the caterpillar may know that even though you may see that caterpillar looking like a millipede, eating what other, you know, animals in the class of hexapoda are eating, the caterpillar knew it's going to fly someday. So there's a change happening inside and is aware. But you see, once it is demon influenced, one of the things you realize is the light on the inside goes off. There is no joy, there is no movement, there is nothing. You are not going on a mission, you are not burning with a passion, you are not you're not running with any vision. Everything just looks standstill. You just live for daily merely existence. At that point, you know. They can come in different forms, like prayerlessness, like procrastination. And as if that becomes a stronghold where you just stand still in a place, it is never God's idea. Of course, there are belief systems that can fuel stuff like that. There are fears that can hold you back from crossing over to the next place. But make no mistakes about it. It is either of God or of the enemy. If it is not advancing, if it is not progressing, the path of the just, the Bible says, it's like a shining light that shines more and more. Refuse to assume that God is pleased with you remaining on a spot for so long. Our God is a God of upward and forward. He told Moses, he says, go forward. The Red Sea before them, Egyptians charging behind them deeply and strongly. Yet God says, tell my people to go forward. God never goes backward. It's upward and forward. Say loud, amen. Amen. So you can differentiate. You can differentiate. So I said, there is the inner game, which is very and deeply spiritual. I've thought about that in first service. There is an inner game. That behind every fear holding you back or causing you to have a form of standstill, there is a belief system that is fueling it. For instance, some people believe so much in their night dreams that if they find themselves doing anything ominous in their dream, all of a sudden their belief system, their recognition system begins to surrender to negative possibilities. They wake up with that kind of conscience and they adorn and carry themselves that way and expect negative possibility, and it becomes their experience. For instance, who told you eating in your dream is evil? Nollywood told you so. Because the only people God gave food in the dream that we know were people like Peter. It was God who let the sheet down and he said, I don't want to eat anything unclean. Another person that God fed in the scripture that we know was Elijah. An angel came to feed him. But you see, the negative occurrences that followed after such dream is because your belief system failed that occurrence. Then you say, oh, that means another standstill has happened again. Oh, is the reason why I'm stagnated. It's because there is a belief system failing that, and that belief system becomes a undo upon which Satan can lash on. Satan can actually afflict you without you reposing faith in him in some way. And fear is faith. Fear is simply expecting calamity. What is faith? Expectation. A strong, desirous expectation. So faith in itself is not intrinsically good or bad. Faith is neutral. You determine whether it is a good one or negative. If it is towards God, it is faith towards God. If it is towards the enemy, it is fear. And there is always a belief system fueling it. So once you identify what the belief system is, responsible for why you are where you are for this long, then you begin to deal with that unbelief. And the only way to deal with unbelief, like we read in the book of Mark 6, when Jesus could not do mighty miracle in his hometown, the Bible says in verse 6, he went around the village teaching. That's the way to drive away unbelief. In Galatians 3 verse 5, he says, he that worketh miracles among you, he does it by the hearing of faith. So you must hear God's word in that direction that will neutralize and dispel the unbelief and the fear that is stopping you cold from going to the other side of God's plan for your life. Then secondly, prayer and fasting. Jesus educated his disciples when they could not cast out the devil. They asked him, how could we not? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. He says, nevertheless, this kind goeth not but by fasting and prayer. What kind? This kind of unbelief. There's a kind of unbelief where you have to sit down with prayer and you fast. Fasting is not just something we do just to make God happy or to make God do what he doesn't want to do. No, fasting helps you. Fasting simply means to do away with food and other conveniences of life so that you can achieve focus in a spiritual exercise. There's an unbelief holding you back, a superstitious mindset holding you back that you need to deal with in the place of prayer and build yourself up on your most holy faith. Then you add fasting to it. It is not to, you know, show some kind of religious piety. No. It simply means a focused tool to achieve a particular spiritual exercise. And you don't put time to this thing. You keep praying and you stand your ground until victory is ascertained. We call it note of victory. Sometimes you pray to a point and you start laughing. You know you've got a victory. Sometimes you could be praying and you just get the note of victory like a laugh, like a knowing, a deep, 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 deep knowing that it is done. You just get up from those places with so much boldness. You find yourself literally opening the door saying, where is the devil now? There's an embodiment that comes with such kind of exercise. You need that sometimes. There are some troubles where you will just say, out, it's gone. There are some mountains you will climb through. There are some mountains you will push through. There are some mountains you will close your eyes and walk through them. You have to realize. This is so important. Don't take stagnation lightly. Don't permit your mind to subconsciously accept a certain way of living. I'm tired of this six figures thing. 100,000, 2,000, 200,000, 500. No! If I'm saving 100,000 naira per month, how many years will I save to be on TV? I reject this mentality. My God! I gotta believe God for a miracle. I gotta see something big. I'm giving you an example of my own. I don't know what your own is. Some of you are saving 2,000 every month. It's good. It will give you that discipline of saving. But you know what the dream will require you to achieve. You know that it can't be by power. You know you need a supernatural intervention somewhere. So the inner game is what I've shown in first service. So get the tape. In second service, I want to show you the outer game. A lot of people do the outer game, they don't do the inner game. A lot of people do the inner game, they don't do the outside game. For example, a young lady says, believing God for a good man, but deep down inside her, she has some belief system that is counterproductive, that is against her. One, in her mind, she already had an idol. The guy must be dark, tall, handsome, slim. So, and the thing is, sometimes kings don't come with their crowns. Then, deep down inside her, she has a belief that me, I want to be an independent woman. I don't need no man. Everybody has, which is good. But you see, there's a place where you cross the blurry line and you personally, unbeknown to you, just begin to sow seed of a terrible marital life ahead of you in your singlehood. Belief systems. I've told you, any area of your life that is not working, write out the two basic important things you know, you think you know about that eating. Write it down. Maybe in your finances, you feel that the way to make money is to actually believe God for a miracle, number one. Then number two, you are trusting God that a particular uncle somewhere will help you and give you a particular raise for you to start the business. Those are the two basic things you believe about how you walk out of poverty. Now, carry those two things you believe, go and study, get pragmatic facts and truths and materials to assist you to verify those things you know about that area of your life. You will find out 90% of the times you were wrong. No wonder you never produce results. I think I'll do another teaching next month along that area. How to bring out what you have and how to turn ordinary to extraordinary from scriptures. So, what are the outside games to play? I've shared the inner game in the first service. Number one, identify the satanic undo. The moment you found out that a stagnation experience or a standstill experience in any area of your life is no longer normal, you can't choose to be melancholic about it. The moment you realize that an experience is becoming a cycle, you realize that a particular experience is no longer normal. It does not longer meet the trajectory of natural precedence, does not longer meet the trajectory of natural occurrences. Number one is you identify the satanic undo. Like I told you, the satanic undo for people's stagnation sometimes can be a belief system. As a matter of fact, all satanic influence standstills in life are basically influenced by certain belief systems that you have embraced from your forebears. Marital delays. I've helped people out many times that it is just a certain belief system about who and what they should be expecting in a man that has kept them for that long. There was a lady I was speaking to recently, and one of the things holding her bound was because she had a dream that the spiritual mother of that guy told that guy that the guy should not marry her because she has so much demonic influence from home. She called it ogun, delay. And so for that reason, she started misbehaving to the guy, and the guy felt, I'll pack my things and go. And later on, in counseling with her and prayerfully, found out that it was all a lie of the enemy. And what was the belief system behind her not ending up with that good guy? Because that guy was a good guy, I'm telling you. Another guy is a good guy. The problem was she had crowned her ninth dream life as verdict. Irrespective of whether knowing whether it is from God or not. How did she crown her dream life as divine verdict? She's been believed so. She believed so. She watched Nollywood. She feels, and Satan notices that is where our faith is tied. It became a handle for the enemy. Whatever you crown as a divine verdict that you are reposing your faith in becomes also a delicate handle for the enemy to use to penetrate and afflict you. So the moment you identify the handle, then you find a way to shine the light of God's word into it. You're always confused, don't know what decision to take or what step to take. Listen, As a child of God, you should never be in any form of uncertainty about God's will for your life. No, I know there are some things that you may not find black and white on scriptures. But God will never leave us in such a situation where we wouldn't know what to do. The Bible says the spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord, searching the inward part of the belly. If you would pray in tongues long enough, the will of God will bubble out of you. I'm telling you, this has been my experience many times. If you really want to ascertain the will of God, and you cannot ascertain black and white in the word of God, you know what to do? Declare a fast. And pray in the spirit, pray in tongues. The Holy Ghost will take hold of your spirit like a scanner. He says it searches the inward part of the belly. The Spirit of God will take your spirit on a journey that way. It will show you this is it. And you know this is the will of God. You get out from such prayer knowing exactly what to do. Whether to say yes to that business plan or to say no or to walk away or to walk in. Or even if it doesn't look like it, you step into it because there's a conviction on the inside. That's how you ascertain the will of God that you can't find black and white in scripture. We have an advantage as children of God. You have to know this. You are never disadvantaged. Identify the satanic handle, the hook upon which the enemy thrusts his evil, the link of access through which the stagnation is built upon. One of the reasons why, even if God wanted me to marry 5 years ago, I couldn't have married was because all the ladies coming to me were fair ladies. I don't like fair ladies. I used to think fair ladies were mommy and water children. Listen, now you could laugh about it. You could laugh about it, but I'm telling you there are some subconscious belief that they are just there. You will even argue that, no, I don't believe that now. I know the word of God now. But do you truly know what you think you know? Do you truly believe what you think you believe? Do you know how long it took me for me to become a friend? A just friend with cats? Because growing up, we watch Eku Kuleku, Koleku, Leku, Kukuleku, Koleku, Inekamo. You know, listen, these things are real. I'm telling you. So sit down and ask yourself, identify what is that undo that is fueling this fear. Let me tell you, behind every fear, there's a belief system fueling it. Either fear of failing. By the way, why are you afraid of failing? Failing is part of success. It's part of it. You see, there is no point to be afraid of failing. Because failure is part of the whole process. Failure only proves to you that there are certain variables of success that you did not factor in initially that you should factor in the next time you are trying. And then you are starting this time around with the optimism that you've gotten that previous one bad because of certain steps you took that you would not do again. And certain things you ought to have done that you did not factor in initially. And then you go headlong with optimism. Even unbelievers, they don't chicken out the way some believers do. You don't throw in the towel. No. You should speak like Paul, speaking to those men after the shipwreck. I know God whom I've believed, before whom I stand. And it shall be so, even as it was told me. It shall be so, even as it was told me. So you shatter every belief system that is surrounding any form of, fear that is being fueled or that is fueling what you call standstill in any area of your life. Sometimes it may not even be a belief system in a gem form. It could be a belief system in certain actions. Because you may not think you believe something, but your actions are proving you actually believe it. That's what I call when you engage in cannibalistic
actions against what you think you believe or you are expecting. Let me give a very mundane example. You say you are going to gym to work out because as a lady, you feel like, you know, it's good for a lady to say, I want to change the way I look, all right? As long as it is for God, not to please a man. Or as long as you just want to look that way. But you are going to gym, you are working out, you want to just reduce some fat, you know, and all of that. But you have not stopped taking carbs. Like every day, rice, garri, eba, cassava, garri, the next day, eba, fufu, agbado. You are taking all those things. Fast, you don't fast. You say, I have osa. And that osa means once it is 8 a.m., you're already hungry. And you've made it. I used to meet a lady one time who told me that she must take one Coke every day. That if she doesn't take Coke in a day, she's going to be sick. Those are cannibalistic goals, cannibalistic actions. That is against the goal you are setting that you want to walk out of. Some people can't fast. Just let me tell you. Look, let me tell you something. This is not even part of the teaching. Let me tell you something. Look. Erase from your mind. Erase from your mind shortcuts in life. For example, what is this idea of I want to increase my bum bum? So there are some things, you know, and now finally they not even put Maggi inside there. Or you cook, look, forget all those shortcuts. If you want a good bum bum, or you want a good, look, just eat healthy. And eating healthy might mean that you might eat more. Because now you now eat a lot of nutrients and not calories. If you want to remove fat from your body, it could start with nutrition, waking up, sleeping well. And you must make that decision that this is what you will do for the rest of your life. You are shaking your head. That's where we have a problem. Stop looking for shortcuts. If you say, okay, I want to be successful in life, be ready to pay the price. That's by the way. I hope that blessed someone. Did that bless someone? So number one, identify the satanic undo. So once you identify the satanic undo, and most times it's usually a belief system somewhere that you need to dismantle. Number two, after you have identified satanic undo, which could be a belief system, and you've been able to dismantle that belief system, all right, like the examples I just gave you. Number two is analyze your current realities. Look, you cannot move forward if you are not acquainted with your present reality, your current financial ability, your current situation, your current income level, your current health status. Look, it is not faith to disagree with facts. Faith is not denial of facts. Faith is denying the fact, its ability to deny you of moving to the next level. So be acquainted, be well acquainted with your current realities. And the reason why that is so important is because so that you can be able to identify the things you have. Can I be honest with you? I have seen it all through scripture that God will never leave you at any point in your life where you don't have anything powerful enough to take you to the next level. God is never so unfaithful. It could be in certain relationships. I mean, look at David. When all hope is gone, went to the cave of Adullam. Look at the men that came to him. He had nothing, but he had certain people whom anyone could actually consider as wrong people, because the Bible says there were men who had debts, men who were indebted, men who were disgruntled. But guess what? Those men became mighty men of David. Look at the same guy that we spoke about the other time, Jephthah. When hope is gone, even the circumstance of his birth was causing him shame, he left his home
He left the toxic environment of his brothers, went to a place called Tob. And there, look at what happened to him. The same thing that happened to David. Vain men came to him. Guess what? He trained those men, poured himself into them, and they also became great men with him. Guess what? Later on, the land where they drove him away from, his brothers who drove him away that he cannot have inheritance with them because he's not a child of a proper woman, the whole village, the whole city later called him to come and be king over them. Look at Paul in Acts 19. When all hope is gone, he was teaching about it this way, and something happened. The Bible says certain oppositions were added. Paul left there, went to a certain house of Tyrannus for the space of 2-3 years. He began to preach the same thing with the few people whose hearts were knitted with ease. Guess what? The Bible says in verse 20, they mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So even when you say you don't have nothing, there are relationships. See, look, it could even be, see, there is something, there is a oil in the house. There is an idea in your head. There is an ability in your hand. There is a passion in your heart. There is a vision in your dreams. There is something. God can never leave you without anything capable of spurring you to the next level in life if you would only take time to find it out. How? In the place of prayer. And you pray for light. You can never get to that point where you have nothing anymore to move you to the next level. You could be living on the fence of the house in Jericho, and all you have is just room. You have to go and be, you know, doing wrong stuff and all of that, God forbid. And all you would have is a room to house the spies. And that will preserve you and your family. You can never be left without. You could say, you could be crying that you are in crisis and you have nothing. That your children have been taken away, the husband is gone, all the men in your life is gone, nothing. You've had like 12 breakups. Or hookups, or breakfast, and you could be like that. But the prophet will ask you, what do you have? And you will say, I have nothing except a cruse of oil. That cruse of oil was enough to move you to paying all your debts, recovering all your children that were seized by the people who took them because your husband was owing. Are you listening to me? And make you so prosperous in the land that you lack nothing and be so self-sufficient. God will never leave you without something capable of moving to the next level. Never. So the first thing, therefore, is analyze your current realities. Stop living in delusion and be calling it faith. Analyze your current realities. Get informed and acquainted with your current situations, current income, current, you know, health status. You know why that is so important again? Because so that you can be able to know what you have that will be required to be in the next place you have to be. Number three is, you have to visualize your future possibility. Now, this is so important. It looks simple, but very important. Because you cannot feature in a future you haven't pictured. In Joshua 6:2, God told Joshua, he says, see, I have given Jericho into your hands. It must be painted in your imagination where you are headed. And one of the good things you must do yourself in life is to never let your current situation give you a permanent image. Refuse to let what you are going through, all right, to color up your imagination. Don't become a victim of your current circumstances. You are acquainted with your current circumstances so as to know how to project to where you are headed. But you must keep the vision. It's like saying you can actually dream global, but you start local. Do you understand? So you must visualize your future possibilities. And that's why everyone God used in scripture, God made sure he passed them through that same school of bravery, where he had to work on their mind. He told Abraham, he says, Abraham, come. Change his name to Abraham. Abraham means assumed father. Change his name to father of many nations. Told him, come, count the stars. He was counting. He said, so shall your seed be. And Abraham kept that statement, so shall your seed be. Anytime Abraham came out and saw stars, so shall my seed be. So we read later in the book of Romans 4, in verse 17, it says, before in whom he believed even God, who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were, as it is written, so shall thy seed be. So shall thy seed be that God spoke to him in Genesis. He kept on to it. He believed it. So God worked on his mind. Jeremiah was thinking he was too small. Until God had to work on his mind and say, stop saying that you are a kid. In verse 19, chapter 1, he says, look, I've put my hand in your mouth. I've given you the power to pull down, to break down, to uproot, to build. He had to work. He said, stop saying you are a child. Because the guy was like, I am, that's, you know, Jeremiah was a Yoruba guy. God said, come on, he said, you think I'm joking? Check your scripture. He is from my village. He's a Yoruba man. He said, are you saying, that was why. He says, I am but a child. God says, shut up. So analyze your current realities. Visualize your future possibilities. You must keep that vision there. You must keep it. Number four. I've spoken about this one in number one. Identify the belief or superstitious panorama fueling the doubt and fear you have about your visualized future possibility. Look at it, Jeremiah 1:6. Thank you, media. It says, then said I, Omo Yoruba ni mi o swaga. Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a small boy. Negative self-estimation of oneself. But the Lord said to him, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Say loud, amen. Amen. Say not I am a child. How old was Josiah when he became a king? Less than 10. Say not I am a child. Timothy was a teenager and he was pastoring old people, the biggest church. Paul had to write to him, let no man despise your youth. Don't look down on yourself. Paul too, later wrote to the church too. He says, don't despise his youth. He was a small boy. You know, many times because of the movie of Jesus that many of you have seen growing up, you see Jesus with all his disciples, all of them had beards, Peter, they all look old. Go and read your Bible very well. Many of them were teenagers. Only Peter was married. If they were not teenagers, why would a woman take his two children and say he want them to? He took his children. One woman took his two children and say it meant to meet Jesus and says, please, I want them to sit. One to sit on your left, one to sit on your right. Can my own mom carry me at this my baby age with this my mustache and say it's taking me to one man that she sit on? They are young boys. One of them always rests on Jesus' chest. Can I sit with you now? You'll be resting on my chest all the time. This man with his baby. They are not young people. They were young boys. They are not old people, rather. They are small, small boys. And they changed the world. Forget those movies of Jesus you've seen where all of them look matured. They were young, young guys. Many of them. So identify the belief or superstitious panorama. Panorama means your paradigm, your panoramic view about things that is fueling that doubt and fear that you have about your visualized future possibility. And I wrote here, I said, example, your reverential allocation of divine verdict to dreams of night may be fueling your fear of overmarrying early, of ever marrying early because you dreamed of marrying late. Let me tell you something about dreams. Ecclesiastes 5:3, give it to me. Let me tell you something about dreams. You can go and search on our website, don't let dreams dread you. I did some teaching on that. It says, For a dream cometh through the multitude of business. I don't know why God is permitting me to talk along this line. For a dream, we're talking about how to walk out of stagnation. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. The same way you know a fool by a multitude of words, that means vain words, no sense in what he's saying. It's the same way you know that through multitude of business, a dream cometh. If you were hungry before you sleep, you find yourself eating the dream. It's multitude of business. The last conversation you had last night, you have it come. See, listen, dreams are just a simple replay of unresolved issues, unresolved matters of conversations in your subconscious that now, you know, find themselves back into your dream life, and they played like a movie. Now, there are some times that Satan can introduce his own script into the dream, into the play. But when you wake up from such a dream, what do you do? Just don't forget that you yourself, you are the script writer. You are the director of that movie. You rewrite the movie and go back to sleep again. How do you rewrite? With your words. Don't wake up and say, how can you call me in the night? Pastor, I just dreamt that. I will be poor in life. I mean, people believe their dreams so much that they just answer and say, it will happen. My dream, people proud, they say, my dream must, whether it is good or bad, it must happen. Or my dream, shut up. Dreams happen through multitude of business, unresolved arguments, unresolved inward conversation, unresolved thoughts. They sink down to replay like a script when you are asleep. So if you don't like what you are dreaming, change what you are saying. So don't put unnecessary, don't repose authority in your dream life. Identify the belief or superstitious panorama fueling the doubt and fear you have about your visualized future possibility. Then lastly, harmonize your visualized future possibility with action. Harmonize your visualized future possibility with action. These are five steps to take. These are the outside game. I've spoken about the first game in first service. Number one, you identify the satanic angle, you deal with it, analyze your current realities, you deal with it, so that you'll be able to forecast, you know, and then, because there is something, God will never leave you without a witness. There's something in your hand, there's something in your brain, there's something in your heart, there's something in your house, there is something. God will never leave you without a witness. There is something to start with to get out of. See, your current realities, look, one of the beautiful things analyzing your current realities will do for you is it will help you to know the available options. Look, let me tell you, see. Should I say this? Are you ready for this? Let me give an example. And this is a bit, might sound controversial, but let me tell you something. I was sharing with a lady. She was 36 then. So she's my friend. She's still my friend. So we are friends, you understand? So, and she was in Lagos. So she's a tech girl. This was 3 years ago. So, and she was working in the mainland and she was earning, I think, not up to 200K. So she got another job where they were paying her about 400 and something, somewhere in Ireland. That was 3 years ago. So, one, she's on the high side. She's on the big side. But she's pretty anyway. So, and she knows me that I always say the way it is. I said, this way, the way you are like this. Let me tell you something about ladies when they mature. They like to, they face reality. See, you know, it's all these, don't worry. All these people in their 20s, I'm looking for tall, dark, sleep. Don't worry. When time, no, and I'm not putting you under pressure, but I'm just, that's why I said this one is, I'm just talking from my heart. Do you get what I'm saying? Look, come in terms with your current realities. Stop being in Nigeria and you are dreaming that you marry Natasha or you marry... Oh, see, you've watched too much TV. I told her, I said, let me ask you, with this, you're being on the high side, don't you think you need to reduce it? She said, oh, that's true. So she began to do... I said, okay, your church, what church? She mentioned the name of the church she was attending then. So I asked her, I know you... Yes, you should belong to your church and all that, but because of the work you do, you drive in the early in the morning by 4 a.m. because she works in the highland. You know, she's the head of the engineer in charge of. She did her master's in, I don't know, she shall do some, all these extra courses. She's the one in charge of the entire engineering in the company. So she's earning good then. Over 3 years ago, if you're earning 400 or something, you know it's good money. I said, look, this is what you do. Do you notice that you leave in the morning, 4 a.m., you come back, if you are living in Lagos, ask people who are in Lagos, you come back later in the night, 10 p.m. Sometimes the food she cook in the morning that she left is what she will microwave, and then sleep, 3 a.m. again. Sometimes she even does devotion in the car. And that goes that way. She doesn't have time to go for midweek service. So she normally live stream. So at any point in the church, she said, is the church, and of course she's growing spiritually in that church. About 50 people or whatever. Okay, how many people are married in that church? She counted over 40 people are married in that church. I said, so now, I understand that the best place for you to find a partner is in the church, but it looks like the chance is slim in church. How about you find a way of socializing with other Christian brothers and sisters in some beautiful, different, other wonderful forum or fora, I beg your pardon. Like singles out, like all these, there are a lot of things they do in Lagos. It's those that Nasara Kefi is blessed. All right, there are some things people do, they just organize. You know, you just hear Christians hang out, ladies hang out, you know, young business professional meetings, those kind of. I said, that's the only, look, you can't be praying for your husband. You are on the big side. Age is going. What current reality? Stop telling me story of a friend of yours that the husband, she pray, and the husband just came from Germany one day. And look, that one happens one in 1,000. See, work with reality. I know that some of you don't like to hear this. The kind of things you like to hear is, my God, your husband, wherever he is, Masha Tayada. Even though, look. There was a time I thought I will marry Megan Good. Do you know Megan Good? I believed it like, sometimes I'm praying and I'm seeing, Megan Good, older than me. So when I later noticed she was married, I began to imagine, okay, my wife will look like Ali Berry, or is either, I just believe that after school, I'm going to travel out, which were already in plan. I'm going to marry a Yankee girl. And in my mind, I just say, one day, I'm just going to meet someone like Megan Good. So inside me, I wanted a godly girl, but I still had the idol. I want Choma Jesus inside Cardi B's body. You know, look, you have to be sincere. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you in Jesus' name. Give us the clap offering, please.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website, www.cornerstoneglobal.org, or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.